11's arms sales, Biden said in early February during his first address to the U.S. public on his administration's foreign policy approach. It was a speech that saw him showered with the praise of his supporters, yet we are now in early January 2022 and the war has only intensified, with UN experts estimating that the total death toll by the end of the year will be 377,000. To make things even worse, as Saudi Arabia's bombs target urban centers in Yemen's capital, Sana'a, including the country's primary airport and a maternity hospital, the U.S. just approved another $650 million weapons sales to Riyadh. Instead of withdrawing their support for the Saudis' offensive actions and ending weapon sales, the Biden administration has done the exact opposite and took no action when the war escalated just weeks after the president's statements, igniting an ongoing bloody battle for control of oil-rich Ma'rib province. Yemen is far from an isolated case of the Biden administration saying one thing and doing the opposite, but is perhaps the most urgent of all West Asia region matters to resolve, given the sheer number of civilian casualties that await perpetuation of the status quo. Next on the list of this year's West Asia region catastrophes is Afghanistan, where Biden fulfilled his promise of withdrawal. But with the sudden collapse of the U.S.-backed Afghan government, the country soon fell to the Taliban. In August, infamous scenes of Afghans falling to their deaths after holding on to departing U.S. planes, coupled with a helicopter lift spotted aiding U.S. embassy workers, saw comparisons made with Washington's infamous withdrawal from Saigon in 1975. Violence by American troops was meted out against civilians during the early stages of the Taliban takeover and did not end until every last American troop left. The most notoriously bloody incident was a drone strike that targeted and killed 10 Afghan civilians, seven of whom were children. Zamari Ahmadi, a 36-year-old who worked for the California-based aid organization Nutrition and Education International, NEI, was killed in that drone strike, along with six of his nieces and nephews, symbolizing the lack of protection Afghans got even when working with the United States. So how did the U.S. decide to close the chapter of the failed $2.26 trillion Afghanistan war? Did we punish those responsible for the murder of an aid worker and his family? You guessed it. Not only did the U.S. government defend its actions, it refused to hold anyone to account for one of the last war crimes it committed on Afghan soil in 2021. What then to make of U.S. attempts to righteously blame the Taliban for their acts when Washington itself refuses to hold its own forces to the high standards they expect of others? Washington is also currently freezing approximately $9.5 billion in assets and loans, leaving the newly established government in Kabul unable to feed a starving population suffering under an economic crisis. This does not mean that the Taliban deserve a free pass here for their actions, but neither is this a simple morality play of good and evil, black and white. What the Biden administration's actions attest to is an environment of impunity that shielded coalition forces from accountability, as Washington's withdrawal proved both tactically and strategically disastrous.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son, he's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. And the answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. I'm Hassanain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiyaqum. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure. Brother Miqdad, in the previous shows, one of our listeners had written to us a question that a few months ago, my brother and his family went to Ziyarah in the Middle East, Iran and Iraq. And when they came back, their children, who are the same age as my children, had different things that were from an Islamic culture, like rings, dijasha, and different types of tasbih, etc. And my children obviously want the same. On one aspect, I understand the importance. However, living in the West, it's very much against the local culture. So I'm a bit worried about this. What do you suggest me to do? So Brother Miqdad, we were discussing about different cultures and how we can follow the different types of cultures with respect to the Islamic principles. So please, if you'd like to add any more points to it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the previous show, we talked about this relationship between culture and Islamic guidelines. And we said that Islam as such, you wouldn't say that Islam has a culture. Rather, mm-hmm. Islam gives guidelines to different cultures. And
true.
In whatever culture thing they do, Islam brings about principles and red lines and uh-huh. limitations or additions, basically, to ensure that the human being, through their own culture, mm-hmm. through their own language and the way they do things, are able to reach their perfection, which mm-hmm. is the servitude of Allah. And we also said that we have to be careful, though. A lot of the cultures have, because culture at the end reflects an ideology, reflects a values and principles. So we have to understand that certain ideologies, certain cultures reflect an ideology that's completely true. Against Islam, yeah. right?
Is it right if we say that we can follow any culture, like keeping the Islamic boundaries in our mind?
So it's a very good question. What you'll realize is that certain cultures, you'll be very far from them, or it'll be very difficult to adapt them, uh-huh. okay? If you try and implement what Islam says.
Yeah.
Take the Western culture, for uh-huh. example. It's very difficult to completely be a Western, have a culture that's completely Western, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By abiding by Islamic values and principles, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Western culture, for example, is about drinking
yeah.
alcohol, right?
Yeah.
You go to the pub every weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's about interacting with men and women in a very free way.
So over here, there's nothing like the Islamic boundaries. It's completely against the Islam.
It's very difficult to completely adopt the Western uh-huh. culture, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for example, you'd say the Arab culture or the Iranian culture or Western culture, for example, you would say they're closer to Islamic guidelines.
Uh-huh, true, yeah.
Right? I'm talking about the real culture. I mean,
yeah.
today's world, today, even the Iranian or the Arab culture is mm-hmm. being very much tempered mm-hmm. upon, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very much yeah. influenced by the Western culture. But if you go back to old cultures, these cultures are closer to Islamic values and principles,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, at the end, if you look at the history of human cultures, yeah. right, you realize that certain cultures were very much close to religion,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? For example, the Arab culture,
yeah.
right? The Arab culture, because it's so religion for numerous centuries, right, mm-hmm. across 1,000 centuries, mm-hmm. right? This culture has been living with religion, yeah. with Islam, right? So the kind of the culture was very much influenced by the religion in a way that at the end, there's a lot of parallel and a lot of common points in it. Yeah. I'm not saying that the Arab culture is exactly the Islamic culture. Not at all. At all.
Oh yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you so much, Brother Mundad. Let's take a short break over here.
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Mehdad.
You see, take it this way, that Islam has guidelines and principles.
Yeah.
Okay, these guidelines and principles are much easier to adapt them
uh-huh.
in a culture like the old Arab culture or the mm-hmm. old Iranian culture or the old Asian culture.
Mm-hmm, true.
And it's very hard,
yeah.
extremely hard to adapt it in a Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is that the Western culture is a manifestation of an ideology that's mm-hmm. very much against Islam.
Yeah, completely opposite of it.
Whilst the Iranian or Arab or old Asian culture, they're based on ideology that has a lot of similarities with the Islamic ideology.
True that, yeah.
Put it this way, right? So, for example, let me give a quick example of family life,
uh-huh.
right? To adopt the guidelines that Islam says about family life,
mm-hmm.
it's very easy to adopt it in an Asian culture.
True.
Because if you look at Asian, if you look at Pakistanis, Indians,
mm-hmm.
Asians, the family relation is very tight. Brothers
yeah.
and sisters are very close
true,
to one another.
True.
Parents and children are very close to one another.
Yeah.
The respect they have for elders, for their
yeah.
grandparents, it's very easy. It's very normal. It's part of the culture, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
And when you want to bring Islamic values to it, you realize that it's very easy.
Yeah.
Right? But now you come to Western culture,
mm-hmm.
where parents turn 50 and you send them into a home,
mm-hmm.
right? Children turn 18, they want to move out from the house
yeah,
straight
that's
away.
Really unfortunate.
Brothers go their own way, sisters go their own way.
Yeah.
Family relations is very, very weak.
Mm-hmm.
In that culture, you want to adopt Islamic values that are related to family life,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You have to somehow cut yourself from the culture to be able to apply the
mm-hmm.
Islamic values and principles.
Yeah.
So this is the point that you realize that certain cultures are far from Islamic values,
mm-hmm.
certain cultures are closer to Islamic values.
True.
Now, the point that we're not saying that you have to change cultures.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying that you adopt the Islamic culture and you realize that when you adopt the Islamic values and principles, the culture story has to change. And this is why you realize that Muslims living in the West, their culture is very much different, and they can't really feel at home in the West.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of the youths, right,
yeah.
when they want, and this is fundamental, when they want to live in the West,
mm-hmm.
okay, they tell you, I become completely Western,
uh-huh.
and by that I'll have to abandon a lot of my Islamic values and principles.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to adopt values and principles of Islam, I'll be kind of counted as a outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is where the whole discussion of integration comes in.
Yeah.
Right? Integration is what? It's saying that integration in the West
uh-huh.
means what? That abandon your values and principles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And adopt the values and principles that we have in the West. And by doing so, you're bound to lose your religion. And this is why most new generations of youth, when they integrate within the Western culture, Western civilization, they have to sacrifice Islamic values and principles, and they lose their religion, or they at least very much weaken their Islamic values and principles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brother Mundad. Let's take a short break over here.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Medad. So, Brother Medad, how about people living in the West? You know, they have dressing, in terms of dressing and in terms of following any culture. So they be moderate, like keeping the Islamic principles in their mind.
Yeah. Before the break, we talked about being counted as outsiders in the Western culture if you want to adopt all the Islamic values and principles. Now, I'd like to mention a very important point over here, is that I'm not saying, and nor am I promoting by any means, that we should not integrate within the community,
uh-huh.
right? Or we should be going to ghettos and create our own kind of society within a big society.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that Muslims should be doing that at all in the West,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm just explaining a natural reaction, natural phenomena that is happening in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very natural for
yeah.
it to happen. And if you talk to any person who has awareness of these things, they'll tell you, yeah, it's a natural process. I can see it happening in the West.
Sure.
Right? What we need to understand is that we need to play a balance whereby at the same time that we're integrating, at the
mm-hmm.
same time that we are adopting a Western culture as
uh-huh.
much as we can, we are also trying to ensure that those things that we're adopting are not going against Islamic values and principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're teaching our children the same thing as well. By maintaining a balance between not taking ourselves as outsiders,
true.
But at the same time, abiding by values and principles that are Islamic.
Uh-huh,
now,
sure.
the key is how to do this. This is very, very difficult for sure. Right?
It's all about managing.
But it's possible. It's not
mm-hmm.
impossible. And definitely we can do it. I'm giving one very good and very strong solution
yeah.
is to strengthen the Muslim communities, Muslim
uh-huh.
centers.
Yeah.
Right? The stronger our centers become,
uh-huh.
right, and the interaction and the events and the different occasions that happen within the community center,
yeah.
this creates a source of culture, a source of knowledge, a source of guidance, a source of really bringing people together, okay,
sure.
even from different cultures, like promote these mosques to be a place where even converts, for example,
mm-hmm.
people
yeah.
who from different cultures, so
yeah, that's
whether
right,
they're
yeah.
Arabs or they're British or they're Americans
sure.
or they're Pakistanis or they're Yemenis or they're Ecuadorian
uh-huh.
or they're
yeah.
I don't know, Vietnamese, for example, whatever
mm-hmm.
whatever background they're from,
mm-hmm.
they all come together and the common point becomes Islamic guidelines and principles, right?
Uh-huh,
it becomes
true,
Islam.
Yeah. That's right.
When that happens, then it kind of like removes people from their cultures and brings about this religion, basically,
mm-hmm.
which is
yeah.
the key point. And this is one way to really strengthen this and realize that even in a Western society, even in a Western civilization,
mm-hmm.
even in a Western culture,
yeah.
Even though we are living in a Western culture, and we're
mm-hmm.
very much abiding by all those Western things that Western
mm-hmm.
cultures that people do. We speak like that, we eat like that, our thinking and our behavior and our attitude a lot of times is Western in this sense. But we try as much as we can to increase our knowledge about Islam, our values and principles are Islamic, and kind of like adopt this basically
mm-hmm,
as much as
yeah.
we can. And after that, you don't become scared of becoming outwards
yeah.
Or counted as an outwarder
mm-hmm.
away from the society, because you're not away from the society. You still have this culture, but you've maintained your principles, and this
true.
Is probably the most important key.
Thank you so much, Brother Medad, and thank you so much to your audience for staying with us. In this program, we discuss about the different cultures, we discuss about the Western culture, and also we discuss about the Arab and the Islamic culture. And also we discuss how people living in the West can abide to the Islamic principles. So once again, thank you so much, Brother Medad, and audience, thank you so much as well. Thank you for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, farstoday.com. Fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and today we present you a famous statement by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the merits of his daughter, the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The statement reads, Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me, and whoever hurts me displeases God.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Thirty-three lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gathered to watch the endangered animals get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting and the loss of nesting sites. In Chile, three Andean condors are back in the wild after years of rehab at a rescue center. The vulnerable vultures were released near the Chilean capital, Santiago. Scientists will continue to monitor the birds to make sure they are healthy. Andean condors occupy a special place in Chile. They are, in fact, the country's national bird and a symbol of power and health. The vultures are one of the biggest flight-capable birds in the world, with a wingspan of up to 3.2 meters. Conservationists in several countries are trying to shore up their population.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Etzold says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab. Technological change is accelerating today, with robots and artificial intelligence making fast inroads into human lives. A consumer electronics show in Las Vegas is the latest example of the same. From lifelike baby dolls to full-grown human-like robots are on the display. They not only write, cry, laugh, and blink, but some of them speak and react when you tell them something. The most interesting thing about these robots is their reactions, which are just like humans, seeming as if they are real people. The robot makers say soon people will not be scared of these human-faced machines being among them.
Humans are so complex, so making a robot exactly like a human is almost impossible. If we did that, then you wouldn't be scared of it, because you'd just assume it's a human. But you get that uncanny valley just before, where it doesn't quite move like a human, doesn't quite express itself or emote or talk like a human. And that's the uncanny valley. That's the scary bit. If you go further back to something that looks less like a human, then suddenly you like it a lot more.
The robot makers hope that the way these robots are made would help even doctors how to treat and confront children, for instance. They also hope that by adding more human characteristics to these robots, the machines will be at the service of humans more than before. Let's see what's happening in one of the world's oldest festivals. It's called Black and White Carnival, celebrated every year in the Colombian city of Pasto. But it has a lot more than what its name may suggest. The carnival, full of vibrant colors and fun, livens up when people perform music too. Those in attendance even threw talcum powder and foam to add more doses of joy. More things to visit too. Colorful monuments and floats are brought to the streets. An artisan explains what's behind one of the huge sculptures exhibited there.
This commemorates what we are going through right now in the world, the virus, that little thing that brought COVID. We have skulls, people who died, those who are reborn, children, old people, and a lady. That's the whole motif. It's called rebirth.
The event has roots in Spanish and African traditions related to the indigenous people of Colombia. The carnival is aimed at highlighting the diversity of ethnic and cultural backgrounds. Its name symbolizes unity and equality. The festival continues until January the 10th. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats. Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is hosting, that is host to, a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remained true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
Definitely, we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now we're happy that once again we can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come, and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmaz for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. Five horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech Republic, in the Czech capital, to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was -6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friend, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we're going to speak about is how can I talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salamu alaikum. Today, Tuesday, is the 8th of Jamadil Thani, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of January, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As we used to, in today's special, we open the Holy Quran for recitation of a verse from a great chapter. For today, we choose chapter Talaq, verse 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa yarzuquhu min haythu la yahtasib. Wa man yatawakkal 'ala Allahi fa huwa hasbuh. Inna Allaha balighu amrihi. Qad ja'ala Allahu likulli shay'in qadra.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he, Allah, has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediment, since He guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Him, he will be delivered from entanglements. The significance of communication with Allah. In this part of today's special, it is incumbent on each and every Muslim to comprehend the meaning of communication with Allah as means of connection between people and their creator and master, and as the process of conveying intended meanings and messages from one side to the other through the use of prescribed ways and means. While performing all other religious injunctions and while scorning the possibility of committing sins, both minor and major, as much as possible, a person should know that he answers Allah's divine calls that target directly him and his consciousness. Such a realization lies at the center of the concept of niyyah. What is niyyah? The intention in one's heart to do an act for the sake of Allah alone, which in turn is a prerequisite for acceptance of religious acts. Prophet Muhammad is reported to have said that the reward of deeds depends upon the intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. Sheikh Azhar Nasser.
The Quran is healing us from the disease of heedlessness. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. You know, sometimes we think that when we do evil, when we are disconnected from Allah, we will be punished later. But the reality is that you're living in hell now, but you don't even realize it. يا من اسمه دواء أمير المؤمنين says in دعاء كومي يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء. Oh, whose names is medicine. But it's not enough to just read a prescription or read the label of the medicine. You have to take the medicine. And you, when you remember Allah, it's not just that you remember God. What you want to do is you want to be a reflection of Him. Allah is merciful, you become merciful. Allah is forgiving, you're forgiving. Allah is the knowledgeable, the knowing, you gain knowledge. You become a reflection of Him. So, one of the most important manifestations of Allah's rahmah is guidance. Allah calls the Tawrat rahmah. Injil is rahmah. Quran is rahmah. It's a mercy of Allah. And if you read it and you practice it and you make it real and you draw practical lessons from it, your life will be filled with mercy. You will be merciful. There will be mercy and love in your families. There will be mercy, love, harmony, empathy in our communities. Quran is a source of rahmah.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Ways to get closer to Allah at home. Today's suggestion, salawat. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, whoever sent salah, prayer and blessings upon me and my Ahlul Bayt once, Allah will send blessings upon him tenfold. There are so many benefits for sending prayers upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt. It is also one of the most encouraged ways for us to express our love towards him. One of the ways to send prayers to the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt is to recite, O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad as you send blessings upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you blessed Ibrahim, the prophet, and the family of the Abraham. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah.
Almighty Allah, as the Creator, communicates with His creation. Everyone is initially free of any false beliefs and will always enjoy a disposition towards goodness and sound beliefs, regardless of his adopted behavioral patterns, while at the same time innately disliking evil, deceit, and falsehood. Just like any other communication type, this type of communication likewise out to be a 20-way process in order that it remains productive, meaningful, and strong in so far as man, the recipient of Allah's communicated word and message, is concerned. Thus Allah afforded a number of opportunities to reciprocate both His direct and indirect communication initiatives. Man is asked to pray 5 times a day, supplicate, remember, praise, glorify, and sign praises to Him at certain appointed and recommended times, or whenever and wherever he feels disposed to do so.
Allah, because He knows us, He never sends a book without a teacher. Has Allah ever sent a book, a scripture, without a teacher? Did the Torah fall from the sky? Or was the Torah revealed to Musa? Did the Injil fall from the heavens on the earth in the form of a book? Or was it revealed to Isa? Allah never sends a scripture without someone who is the embodiment of those teachings. Because Allah knows that human beings need a living example. We need to see these teachings in action. In fact, we are so influenced by role models that Allah sent more prophets and messengers than books. Allah never sends a scripture without a prophet. But Allah, sometimes He sends prophets and messengers without scriptures. Because what is most important is what? To have the living example. And we are very fortunate, brothers and sisters, to have role models like the Ahlul Bayt. I'm telling you that we have someone like the Prophet, who is rahmatan lil alameen. Do you know, brothers and sisters,
that was all for today's special, inshallah. We continue this nice topic on the next episode of today's special. Follow us at parstoday.com/en today's special. Our topic was about how can we talk to Allah.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.